I'm Bill Radke, and you're listening to The Record.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
Recognize that song, The Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime? That voice is the Beninese superstar Angélique Kidjo. Time magazine called her Africa's premier diva, and she's coming to Seattle this week. Her new album is Remain in Light, a cover of the Talking Heads masterpiece from 1980, and she talked with me about it. Hear me?
Yep.
Hi, Bill Radke here.
How are you?
I'm very happy. Happy to be talking with you. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. I hear your voice on the radio all the time. Now it's good for me to have your voice for myself in my ears. That's cool. Perfect.
It is cool. Perfect. Will you say your name for me? I'm saying it, Angélique. I want to hear you.
Angélique Kidjo.
Yes. Angélique Kidjo.
Yes.
From Benin.
Yeah, you don't want to say my whole family name. You're going to spend the whole day doing it.
Can I hear it? Can I hear you say it?
Yes.
Welcome. I'm not going to try all of that.
Okay.
No.
I figured that one out.
Into the blue again. Once in a lifetime. And you may ask yourself, how do I work this? And you may ask yourself.
Angélique, this album that you've reinterpreted, the Talking Heads album, Remain in Light, from 1980. I remember that album. There was a lot of cultural sampling in that record, from TV preachers to Fela Kuti, the Nigerian musician. I remember there was some accusations that this was cultural appropriation. And I've heard you don't really believe in that. What do you mean?
Well, the culture appropriation, when you start saying that, is that you think that you own a culture. No one owns any culture. Culture speaks for people. It's a collection of people that make the culture exist. And one thing that I always say, if you are inspired by somebody's music or by somebody's culture that's far away from yours, recognizing it is already a huge achievement. Not recognizing it is kind of an insult. But the Talking Heads people, they never ever try to hide the fact that they have been influenced by Fela's music and the book of Chernoff. That was a musicologist that at that time that wrote a book about the trance induced by the drums in West Africa, how it worked. People think that it's always a jam. It's not a jam, it's coded. It's talking. The drum is talking to you, and music is at the center of our life in Africa. Everywhere on that continent, you play music when you're joyful, when you cry, when you're born, when you're married, when you die. And music is there all the time. So if something in that culture inspire you to do what you do and you recognize it, for me, it's not cultural appropriation. It's cultural expansion.
So Angélique, when we say you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack, so then what does that make that song about as you interpret it? You know, you may ask yourself, how did I get here? What does the song mean in your rendering of it?
Man, it means to me when I arrived in France in 1983, after going through a decade, even a little more a decade of the communist dictatorship, where your freedom is basically snapped away from you. As an artist, with other artists in Benin, we were forced to write song to pray the ideology, and I refused. So it becomes obvious for my parents and myself that I got to leave that country. Otherwise, my life will be destroyed. I can be killed in jail. So therefore, I have to leave. So here I am arriving in Paris, September 11, 1983. And I start listening to different type of music. And I become really thirsty and junkie of music because there have been more than 10 years of music that I haven't listened to. And then when I hear Once in a Lifetime, it brings me back home. It brings me back to the celebration of African people every day and also the solidarity. Because my first year in France has been one of the worst years ever in my entire life. Because you will say good morning to your neighbors when you're walking in the stairs, and they just talk to the wall, and you go, hold on a minute, what is going on? I'm saying good morning. Just say good morning. Greetings in Africa can last 5-10 minutes because we want to know about the whole family. Mm-hmm. And here you are saying good morning to somebody, and the person is looking at you like you're a criminal. So once in a lifetime brought me that warmth. And also, the question that I was asking myself, was it worth it to leave my country and come? How do I get here with human beings that have no connection to one another?
Congo. Congo. Congo.
Goes on. Goes on. Goes on. Goes on.
Grew up with, I don't know, it sounds like a contradiction. A lot of freedom of speech for you, Angelique, inside your home, but you were living under military dictatorship. How did how did those two influences shape you as a musician?
What it does to me and is the realization of the importance of preserving freedom. Because from one day, we were speaking freely home. The next day, my father come from a meeting with government officials, and the first thing he said when he walked home was, we can't speak freely anymore. You don't know who's spying to you. And he has, you have to call your mom and dad comrade. And I'm like, how come I can't do that? So not only that I was mad, I was not afraid. Because my father told me, if you do your music, don't link your music to any political party. They come and they go. You gotta be free to be able to speak. Yet here I am, living with those two contradictions, as you said, and looking at my father being angry every day. And my father said to me, you gotta get out of here before this gets to you, the point where you won't be able to do your arts anymore. So when I left, it was a relief. And at the same time, it was painful for me to leave behind my parents, not being able to speak to them for 6 years, not knowing if the telephone was tapped. I mean, it's something that people don't understand. Living in exile, no one, absolutely not one person on this planet, will willingly leave his home for somewhere where you don't know what's going to happen to you. So for me as an artist, it shaped my way of writing music, my way of doing music, trying to reach out to people to create bridges for us to be a power to reckon with when our freedom, any freedom anywhere in the world is threatened, we have to come up and speak up and sing it up. Because if there's no freedom, we cannot do our music anymore.
David Burns saw himself as the documenter of his time, the war on drugs, heavy fossil fuel dependence. With this album and your work, what do you want to document?
What I want to document is that every single human being, each one of us, we have the power to transform our world. We cannot just be documenting and be a witness without doing nothing. And in that, in order to do that, I want everybody to stay in the light. Remaining light means more than just words. People are depressed right now. There's a lot of people that don't know what the future holds. You give yourself into that stress, we lose everything. And that's what my documentation of my take on remaining light is: remain in light in every way, shape, or form. Find people that have the same view with you. Even that doesn't have the same view, let's go and talk to people, even that the most repulsive, hateful people, to bring them to light. Don't leave them the darkness, because that darkness, it doesn't matter how much you share the light. If you have a spot of darkness somewhere, that darkness can take over. For me, that's where I am with this album.
Yeah.
Americans have been talking a lot about being divided, what divides us, what unites us. And I liked your take on this. Quote, stupidity is universal. That's why we're all brothers and sisters.
Yep.
Could you elaborate?
Well, it's one thing that my grandmother used to say, because sometimes I wonder, I'm like, why is that person so stupidly mean? Why people say things like that? Because when I was a kid, my nickname was Mother Teresa. I wanted to fix everybody's problem. And my grandmother was like, you have to understand one thing and take that headache off your head. Stupidity is universal. That's why we're all brothers and sisters. No one is born smart. No one is born stupid. It depends on your experience of life, where you grow up, and what you have been taught to believe is right or wrong that create the person that you are, and how you implement that in your life. So people are stupid for a reason why when they are surrounded by stupidity. Or sometimes we all can have our stupid moment, because it's human for us not to be perfect. But that stupidity is also acceptable. But when your stupidity turns to meanness, it's the road that you choose to take with that stupidity.
Does any of this shape how you make music, your outlook?
Oh, definitely.
How's that?
Definitely. I mean, when I started singing, I was 6 years old. Basically, my mom shoveled me on stage. I was 6 years old. And I was shaking from my head to my toe. I was like, what am I going to do? And then because of the lack of light, I couldn't see the public. And somehow it gave me some comfort to sing. And when I finished that song, I came back. I said, Mommy, it feels good. I want to be a singer. And I continued singing. Then at 9 years old, I started playing with my brothers. They have their own musical group. And my father bought all the instruments. For the first time, I saw a guitar, a bass player, a drum kit, a farfisa organ, all those kind of stuff. And for me, it was like Alice in Wonderland. I was living a life in my family that I was completely protected. And it was okay to speak up. It was okay to do music. Then teenager age kicking. And coming back from school one day, I started receiving stone and spit. People calling me prostitute because I was singing. Because when you hit puberty, you reach the age of being married to some old person. And it was not the case in my family. And my grandmother said to me that day, Angelique, there's one thing I have to tell you. You do whatever you want to do with it. In this world and in this life, you cannot love everybody, and everybody can't love you. As long as what you do empowers you, makes you happy, you're not hurting yourself or no one else, less people speak. The day they stop speaking about you badly or good, in a good way, you're dead.
Do you have a favorite proverb?
Well, I have many. I'll give you two. My grandmother always used this proverb. Every human being will fail. It is okay to fail. You can even fall below the ground. What defines you as a human being is your capacity to rise up and to project yourself in the future. And the second proverb that I love is, words are like eggs. Once you drop it and it breaks, you can't piece it back.
Words are like eggs. How do you drop words in a way that you can't piece them back? What, say more about that, will you?
What is that mean is, it comes back to what I used to do when I was a kid. When I was younger, one of the things about me that my parents tried to help me maneuver with is that I can't help myself by saying the truth. If something is wrong, everybody will be silent, and I come in and I say, what is that? And my father is like, do you have a filter? My husband always said that to me. I'm like, what? You're going to tell me that this is right? It's not right. Why are you sitting around and catering to it? It's wrong. I don't want to see it. I don't want to do it. And the same thing goes with my relationship. I have very little friends, because if you are my friend, if you cannot stand me telling you the truth, so I have no time for you. And when you hurt me and you don't give me the opportunity for us to talk about it, to settle, and to move forward, I will never speak to you again. And my mom always used to say to me, between two colors, you have variety of colors. You can't just shut the door like that. Because this world that you're going to, the journey you're starting, you don't know where your feet's going to take your head. That's one another old proverb that my father used to say. And I'm like, what is this? Does that mean? So you got to be careful when you speak. Because in Africa, words are really important. You can say one word and make an enemy for whole life. Words hurt more than somebody slapping you. The pain of the slap gonna go away. The pain of a word will stick to your soul your whole life.
And what if that egg, those words, what if they hatch instead?
Then you can create stuff out of it, because there are words that heal. There are words that bring closure. One thing that my mom always used to say, I'm going to come back again to home. My mom always used to say, when you're getting ready to go on that stage, you have to be ready to be naked spiritually. It took me years to understand what it is. It comes to me, I was on a stage in Cambridge in Boston. As I was on the wing, ready to get on stage, it hits me that, why are you afraid of? There's no hate in my stage. I don't have a weapon. My weapon is my microphone. I call it my weapon of mass loving. So therefore, I cannot be hurt, and I cannot hurt anybody. When you are in that light, your words brings people to be powerful. You empower people with it. What you say, you forget, you know? But the people that go get those words that give them the strength to stand up, I mean, it's something you give them forever.
And that gift of words and music is waiting for you this Wednesday, May 2nd at Benaroya Hall, 7:30 p.m. Angelique, we're excited to have you in Seattle.
I love that city. I can't wait.